Oh, it was rather charming. I thought I'm not intimidated.
Okay, you were just saying that your mother passed away 10 years after your father, mm-hmm. So you were basically took care of yourselves.
Yes.
Uh huh.
And then prior to her death, of course, by that time, most of us were working, and she was not burdened with a solid providing. All the brothers and sisters were very helpful, mm-hmm. contributing.
Mm-hmm.
And though several of us went out, work out, we contributed.
Mm-hmm.
To the household.
Okay. You mentioned that you worked, you and your sister did some work taking care of children, mm-hmm. and also working in movies. And did you mention before that you also worked in department stores?
Oh, yes. That was our first experience in working.
Which department stores and what did you do?
In the old days, so there was the May Company was owned by, it's called Blackstone's. I worked there in the Mahjong department. The game had just become known and popular. It spread like wildfire. Everybody all the women had mahjong set.
This is mostly Chinese customers you were dealing with.
No. This is on Broadway. This is in fact no Chinese. Their supply would come from Chinatown. You know, they bring their own. Least of all, these were all Occidentals, and the lady in charge of this department also carried a few art objects, but mostly concentrated on mahjong, which in the their interpretation required racks and tables and certain things to hold the chips of money, and so that became quite a department.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you there selling the games or teaching them customers how to play?
Yes, finally they even sent me out to teach, and I hadn't even played. So I, on my way out to teach a group, I think in Long Beach, say they would want four ladies would want the instructor. I perused this little brochure of directions, fearful that I would not be able to really help them. But somehow, again, it seemed to be supernatural help. And I soon studied up, played some, and was able to teach. And of course, they always have to modify. They always modify the game somehow, you know, in the scoring and the actual placing of the child. But that was quite an experience at that time. At the beginning then, I was. In I would say uniform in a costume, Chinese costume, and that was a very, very pleasant experience. The head of the department became a close friend of the family.
How old were you at the time?
16.
Uh-huh.
That painting was done when I was 18, and that followed in years, many several years of working as a model, artist model, wearing mother's old Chinese costumes. It was one of the old ones that she brought from with her. And then later, the sister composing a modern one of hers for a class.
A model for whom were you with?
Artists classes. At Chouinard, at the university sometimes. Mm-hmm. Wherever there were art classes.
Mm-hmm.
Portrait painting.
Mm-hmm.
That's that right. That required some time, some period of years. And then, of course, you're on your own, independent, you know. So our background has enabled us to live.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a source of income for us,
mm-hmm.
which we are very grateful for. And we still to this day have some of the costumes left. And a number of the Chinese dresses that we really should eliminate, sell. Because now that we're not using them, they're such beautiful things. And these are ones that brought from China, not locally made, you know, or not sent back to have made, but made with the beautiful Chinese buttons of the old times, you know, of this material.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get these clothes?
Various different people would come back, like we did, burying them in the old days. So that goes back to, 30 years, when they were made so beautifully, and the materials were so beautiful. And some would bring them back, and we laughed because one party explained that they were fed so abundantly that they all arrived here overweight, no longer able to fit into their clothes, so they were willing to sell or to part with them at a nominal price.
You mean they ate abundantly on the ship?
Yes, or? On board ship coming over. You know how that can be in those days. I don't know about now. I think that's true on any boat journey. But they spend much time eating and not enough time exercising. So they accumulate this extra weight.
Is this what your parents told you or you had heard?
No, this actually happened to us. That's how we got some of our lovely dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, at that time, they weren't made here.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't authentic, you know, not the beautiful materials, nor the beautiful handwork that the tailors made. And of course, we all know that the most beautiful fabrics came to Shanghai, from Paris, that the high society demanded these elegant materials to be made into exquisite materials to be made into elegant clothes,
mm-hmm.
for their high social life.
Did your parents wear Chinese clothes after they arrived here?
No.
No.
But mother had quite a few. Don't have many left now. But it's amazing how beautifully they kept. And of course, they didn't do to send to our caterers here. Because the delicate work, they would fray, they bound so much, you know, they would bind the edges instead of sewing them down. They would be piped, say, it all ravel out. So it's been a problem. As people have to, we wear them to work, we clean the best we can, but we dare not send a garment to be cleaned. Cleaners here.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the early days they wouldn't think of accepting, and you certainly wouldn't guarantee it coming out properly.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any work at home in order to earn money? I've interviewed some people who have told me that they worked at home sewing clothes or shelling walnuts or sorting strawberries.
I remember that family. We did some addressing, envelope addressing, now and then. And that And that way it was most interesting. We came across one or two friends that we had not kept in touch with for years and years, and renewed a lovely friendship which exists to this day.
You mean because you had to address an envelope
yes,
to them?
Yes, we found their address on this list. There's something rather interesting, I think, that maybe you've heard about. The nursing homes, the many nursing homes now available throughout all the neighborhood. One near the Silver Lake District, or the Silver Lake District, has a whole wing of Chinese patients. As I would say, the majority are in their 70s, 80s, and up, and one woman is over 100. And they are, some have been there for years, and it's really a pleasure to go. Now and then, to visit. I had the privilege of going with an acquaintance recently who lives near there and who has found it a joy to bring fruit, fresh fruit. And say after lunch and have them set up on trays and to pass among these people. Many don't are unable to speak, or bedridden, senile, so that they just barely able to sit up. So their days are very long and dreary. And there I found, from this list, a lady who has had to spend her last years now, a Mexican friend. Was a neighbor and friend way back in nigh 60 years, long widowed, childless, but has a very devoted, faithful, loyal niece who tends to her finances and calls on her regularly, who lives nearby. And then when I went to see her, I discovered all these little Chinese people. And I think it's a Chinese women's club that can make annual more than annual trips to see them, to visit, to maybe bring Chinese food, bring Chinese food, because the diet is all the same, you know. Can be pretty monotonous and maybe not even enjoyable to many of them. And we hear that a Chinese doctor, he may be connected with a French hospital there on Hill Street, sends off his patients, that type of patient there. But I think that is an item that if people are looking for ways of serving. It's the most satisfying experience.
Mm-hmm.
It means so much for them to hear their own tongue say, even though it's a few halting words, you know,
mm-hmm.
because all of the staff is Latin or Occident, Caucasian. And it's in a very quiet, convenient location, I mean, accessible location.
Mm-hmm.
So we have found over the years satisfaction in doing other volunteer work. Red Cross, many years. That's something we could always do while we were working for pictures. Because that, you're volunteering, you know, when you do it when you can.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much call for others, for instance, at the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital. They need help. not so much there, just in the, not technical, but just in, say, receiving, recording, and controlling visitors.
Do you find many Chinese get out to do volunteer work?
Well, I don't know. I really can't say. I really can't say. They may in and out and among the local community. I think the Chinese Women's Club does a lot of good and necessary charitable work. But we don't know, as I say, we are out of the mainstream, and we have been for years. It's years since we did most of ours, too, you know. But now, of late, our time is taken up just trying to cope. Getting in the grocery, getting laundry, getting appointments for failing eyes and ears and hair. The sister has her problems. She has to face cataract. She already has glaucoma. So it's a constant battle, you may say, to battle the long lines at the bank and whatever place you go, you know, pay bills and do everything possible to stretch out the limited funds.
Did other Chinese people work posing as models too? I haven't heard of that before.
I suppose there are some. As I see, my time is so long now, you know. I started when I was 18, before I was 18. About 18. I'm 73. So, you see, we have been out, as I say, out of the mainstream.
But you don't do you remember hearing of other friends or relatives who would be doing that kind of thing too?
No. Most of them, if they attend, they are students. Now, so many, see, I'm speaking from the standpoint of someone who's had to pay their way all through life, practically. And most of the others have been fortunate, their parents or relatives, to have been sent to school who have not had to go out to work. But today, I suppose you see, I've seen other nationalities that they're always in demand, customs of the East Indian, of the Spanish, of any of the European countries. Southeast Asia, Japanese, any costume, anything colorful, always in demand, you know. Of course, today, it's on such a scale, like we've only had our private art schools, like we did a number of them, you know, they had the big combined music and art. Is it that Cal Arts, is it, that has out in the valley? Combining music and art studies together. In the old days, there would be groups here and there, small schools, you know, private schools, or just groups meeting of an evening for recreation. Those were always enjoyable. Groups of mature people, as a rule. There was a group called Businessmen's Club. These were businessmen, bankers, lawyers, doctors, who met just to enjoy their hobby. To enjoy something that was utterly apart and separated from their work.
Is this a Chinese group?
No, no. These are all what we call, used to call, fun guy. That's where you see, we have completely divorced ourselves from that, what we could say, the local Oriental.
The Chinese community.
Right.
When do you think that, when did you make that break?
Well, when we came back, into the city.
From Capistrano Beach?
No, before that. after our father died, mm-hmm. and our mother died. No, our living couldn't be possibly down in Chinatown. We did work in one store down there too. I did. It was my first job. Owned by Chinese. We called him a silk pillow, a box. But later there was not that type. Many little shops whereby they could not afford to hire help. But the owners, the relatives were.
What kind of a shop was it?
Art shop.
Art shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Art objects.
Mm-hmm.
Not fine art, commercial, and sometimes a few good things. So we learned something about Chinese art, which I think many of the young Chinese are not aware of the knowledge of Chinese art. You know, the porcelains, the bronzes, Cloisonnés, and a number of things, different things, the paintings and so forth, and the embroideries. We're very grateful to have had that experience in better shops afterwards. Oh, I come back now, it comes back. We worked in so many different ones. We took over one especially when the owners would go back to China to buy.
Mm-hmm.
We would keep shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a learning experience and also something we did between jobs. I mean, sometimes we couldn't go when we were responsible to keep it open, you know. We couldn't always accept all the calls.
And you're saying we, are you talking about
my
Mary
sister.
And your
mm-hmm.
and yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So it's been varied. It has been nothing to be proud of, but a great deal to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In your younger days, did you feel Chinese or American? Or a combination of both?
I think more American, because we were with them. And I say at that tender age, we were taken from the Chinese out to the country. And nothing could be more American than country folk, you know, in a small town, a very small town, where there were no other at all, be it Latin or European or any other. Scandinavian, we were the only ones.
So you associated mostly with
entirely
Americans, even after you came back from the country?
Yes, entirely, because that was our bent. We didn't think as, and we had to work. And you go when you go to you work with people that you understand and who understand you. Therefore, our speech has never had, like we have noticed in many other American-born, they still retain a little accent.
Mm-hmm.
But ours, not a hint, like you, born in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you associate with any other minority groups, the Mexicans or Japanese, Koreans or Blacks? Or?
If they happen to be where we happen to be, in this art school, or coming into the shop, or on the set,
mm-hmm.
they have all nationalities there.
Mm-hmm.
No, in fact, we became very international. I had to working at the casting office because there we were in charge. The Chinese group was considered one of the minorities. It was Japanese. Latin, all the other, Philippine, Hindu, most, most of them speaking sort of pidgin English. And it was a time of just tuning my ear to these different accents.
Mm-hmm.
That's made it possible for me to understand today's situation, the Koreans, the Latins, all the different Asians, and Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak Chinese with your parents at home?
We did mostly, but they spoke to us in Chinese and we would answer in English and get along fine. Therefore, my Chinese is very poor. I speak Chinese with a Yankee accent.
Mm-hmm.
Now the older ones, the sister, speaks better.
Mm-hmm.
She was, in fact, she was able to learn cooking, Chinese cooking, well, whereas we who were not home, or were not interested, or not old enough, didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it's too bad. I'm sorry. Now, the older ones went to Chinese school.
The older,
yes,
brothers and sisters?
Mostly the sister and the oldest brother.
You mean this sister meaning Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But then, you see, all through the years working in the world, away from your origin, it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's kind of a challenge to speak when we gather on the set with other Chinese. It's a joy and it's a pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And I really regret not having kept it up.
Was it Samyup or Seyup that your parents?
Mother spoke Samyup and father Seyup. So oddly, the boys seemed to favor and follow Seyup while the girls Samyup.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer Samyup, of course. I feel at home the moment a person says something that we can understand. It sounds familiar.
Why would you feel more at home with Samyup than Seyup, since your father spoke Seyup?
Because our father passed, expired
he passed
earlier,
uh-huh.
And we had more contact with our mother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so much more pleasant to the ear, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh. Did you want to go to Chinese school?
No, we did not. We were very rebellious. We were the age, say, from 9, 7, 9, especially maybe up to 13. Mother would try to gather us after school, after English school. And she herself could teach. See, she was educated. Her mother, father being teachers and having founded this, she was educated. She could read, write. And that was quite an accomplishment for a Chinese woman.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we had beet fields. We would scatter in all directions and plop down in the fields, and she couldn't find us. We were very naughty. That's how Western we were. We just couldn't see it. And
mm-hmm.
that's rather sad. But she could have taught us herself right at home,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't realize. I can't begin. Some records would have been good, but our lives have been so full, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So crammed. Varied. It almost seems like sometimes it's a fairy. It hasn't happened, you know, it's just in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So since the children in your family were mostly Americanized, were there any conflicts with your parents? You know, I mean, did they scold you for being too Westernized?
Our parents? You mean the children? The children?
Meaning you and your brothers and sisters?
No. Mother was very amiable. Mother was a very intelligent person. She was not of the old school whereby she frowned. Because you were not following customs. And father wasn't either. Father was very broad. And I guess they realized it was their idea that we'd be born here. And that especially taking us out to the country, away from a organized community, such as it was, that we would naturally become Westernized. Now, there never was, and now the children of the one sister who did produce are completely Westernized. This sister married an Occidental, a USC boy,
mm-hmm.
fellow. His background was Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
They had four children. One married an American GI in Germany when she was there teaching GI children. The son married a girl with Swedish background. And one son unmarried. So it's quite a unique thing for them to come in, and their favorite food is Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and to know and see something of their parents, something of their background.
Do you think you were typical of most Chinese as far as being Americanized the way you were, and not speaking Chinese at home, and not going to Chinese school? And were most of the Chinese that you knew growing up in LA at the time?